to a Hope 103.2 podcast.
Last night, we explored the extraordinary claim at the heart of Christianity that God has revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ. We don't have to guess what God is like. We can look at the life of Jesus and learn firsthand who God is. As Jesus himself said, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." But what marks out this Christian claim as worthy of our confidence? In what way was it different from, say, the claim of Muhammad that the words he heard in his heart were the very words of God? To answer this, I can do no better than to return to the speech of the Apostle Paul to the Athenian intellectuals. I've quoted from this speech several times before in this series, and it can be found in Acts chapter 17 in the New Testament. Paul is here explaining to a whole bunch of skeptics in Athens why he is a Christian. Having argued that human cultures are wired for contact with God, and having drawn attention to the Athenians' own admission that God remains pretty much unknown to them, Paul begins to emphasize the verifiable nature of the Christian claim. God has done something tangible, Paul says, to reveal himself to us. Here are Paul's words, taken, as I said, from Acts chapter 17. "In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed, Jesus. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead." The news of Christ, his life, death, and resurrection, is not a mythical narrative revealed in the head of a prophet and transcribed in holy books called Gospels. The news of Jesus was a phenomenon of time and space. It was an event in history. At its heart, Christianity concerns the public, verifiable life story of the man Jesus, the man who claimed personally to reveal God, and of whom God has given proof, to use Paul's words, by raising him from the dead. Philosophically, this claim belongs to a different category entirely from that of Hinduism or Buddhism or Sikhism or Islam or Baha'i. Paul's news concerned not simply timeless spiritual truths, but actual events which occurred just recently over the other side of the Mediterranean. Events about a man who forgave prostitutes, rebuked religious bigots, healed the sick, died for sins, and most importantly, rose from the dead. This amounts to a verifiable claim, a daringly verifiable one. I said a couple of nights ago that unverifiable truth claims, ones that can't be tested, enjoy a measure of invincibility from the arguments of critics. Because no matter what we discover about the physical universe or the events of history, unverifiable claims can't be touched. The belief that Allah requires 5 times of prayer each day can't be disproved. The claim that life's goal is the removal of desire via the Buddha's Eightfold Path can't be shown to be false. Neither of these claims may take your fancy, but you couldn't demonstrate them to be untrue. The Muslim, the Buddhist, the Hindu, the Sikh, and so on, all live in the security that their faith is unassailable. It can't be tested. By contrast, the historical and event-centered nature of the Christian claim leaves it wide open to the examination of critics. Some would say it's vulnerable to critics. It's as if Christianity deliberately places its neck on the chopping block of public scrutiny and invites anyone who wishes to come and take a swing. And swing they do. Scientists analyze the ancient papyri documents of Jesus' biographies, the Gospels, and they assess their age and reliability. Archaeologists dig up sections of Galilee to see if Jesus' stomping ground has been accurately described by the New Testament writers. Historians pore over the literary and inscriptional evidence from non-Christian sources to see if place names, personal titles, and architectural details can be confirmed and if any of Jesus' activities rated a mention outside the writings of the New Testament. They also scrutinize the New Testament documents themselves to see if there are enough signs of independent reporting surrounding the events of Jesus to warrant confidence in what they claim. This vulnerability to scrutiny makes some Christians nervous. You may have felt nervous over the years. You know, some Christians live with the thought that just around the corner there may be some new discovery that's going to undermine the faith. The controversy over the Dead Sea Scrolls provides a pretty good example. Since the scrolls were discovered way back in 1947, there's been no end of rumours and innuendo about how the scrolls have been kept from the public eye because of the damaging evidence they supposedly offer against the traditional understanding of Jesus' life. Controversial books were written, startling documentaries were shown on TV, and earth-shattering articles appeared in Time magazine and so on. Dan Brown's The Da Vinci Code offers the most recent rehash of these claims. But really, now that all the swings have been taken and the dust has settled, the international academic community is calling for common sense. For not only are the scrolls readily available in both the original language and in English, it turns out the scrolls can be dated to the period before Jesus. There's no damaging evidence in the scrolls at all about Jesus. While the scrolls provide excellent background information about some forms of Judaism in the pre-Christian era, they've got nothing directly to say about Jesus himself. What was touted as damaging for Christianity a few years ago has proven only to clarify and confirm the picture of Judaism we already had from the New Testament. Now, many, many other examples could be offered. My aim here, though, is not to rebut all of the recent criticisms of Christianity. I'm simply trying to illustrate something about the nature of the Christian claim. Christianity is potentially vulnerable to critical inquiry, precisely because its main claims are verifiable. This is perhaps a cause for fear among some believers, but the reality is, for every scholarly criticism throughout the years, there have been dozens of equally scholarly responses. And as the dust settles and nervous Christians begin to breathe again, the immense Christian claim simply lifts up its gaze to the crowd, places its neck on the chopping block once more, and invites anyone who wishes to come and take the next swing. It's telling also that throughout all these controversies, large numbers of first-rate scholars from all of the relevant disciplines, history, archaeology, science, literary criticism, and so on, have professed faith in the daringly verifiable claims of Jesus. Now, it's true that many other academics are Buddhists or Muslims or Hindus, but this isn't so significant for what I'm saying because the claims of these religions are untouched by the scrutiny of these academic disciplines. The fact that Christianity is so potentially vulnerable to scholarship and yet is still believed by so many professional scholars is, I reckon, pretty significant. The openness of Christianity to rigorous scrutiny is, in my opinion, one of the most exciting things about it. I want a faith that can be tested. I can appreciate how Muslims, Buddhists, and Hindus find security in the knowledge that their beliefs can't ever be disproved. But for me, this would never satisfy. I don't think I could shake off the feeling that if God were truly interested in our attention, he'd offer us more than a dream, more than a vision or a personal dictation of divine words. He'd surely present some tangible, verifiable signpost to himself. The fact that Christianity claims to do just this, combined with the fact that the more this claim is scrutinized, the more substantial it appears, makes me anything but nervous. It thrills me.
Hope 103.2. Thanks for listening.